continue our study of Daniel Marshall. Last week we finished with Jubal Stearns. If you recall, I just think of this morning that Pastor Dan was speaking last week about freedom. And there's a verse in the scripture that says, "You should know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." And where the truth is not, where there is no truth, there usually is no freedom. And what's interesting about that in history, I think, is that prior to the 1740s, America was a very immoral land. There were just terrible morals. There was a state church, but nobody, you know, for the most part, was a Christian, actually, they're just in church. And there were an unusual amount of illegitimate births, and just the morals of America were terrible. In the 1740s, George Whitefield was led of God to come here and preach, and he comes about six times, but two of those times we remember and call the Great Awakening, and thousands of people were saved. And the overriding point or principle of that is people went back to their Bibles. They were saved. They went back to their Bibles. They began living Christian lives, really for the first time in America's early history. It's interesting that George Whitefield's testimony is that he had success everywhere he went except for North Carolina. And in North Carolina, he found an exceeding godless area, that people were not interested in the things of the Lord. They did not want anything to do with Scripture. And this was the frontier, of course, and this is the early 1740s. And Whitefield writes specifically that North Carolina was a destitute land, and he prayed for somebody to go to North Carolina. A young man was saved in 1745, I believe, under Whitefield's preaching. His name was Jubal Stearns. God would lead him and another young man who would become his brother-in-law, but was already saved, and he was a preacher in the Episcopal Church, in the Congregational Church. He would lead both of them to North Carolina. And there those two men turned the South upside down for the Lord. And it's just amazing when you look at history and you follow some of these things. It's just fascinating. And so the men in North Carolina are direct descendants of George Whitefield and his preaching. Although Whitefield didn't mean for him to become Baptist, we talked about that. You know, Whitefield said, "All my chickens have become ducks." But he didn't mean for them to become Baptists. But that's what happened when they went back to God's Word. They found that there was no infant baptism in Scripture, that the Baptistic principles were there. And so that's fascinating to me. And then if you think about that, 1740, 1750, 1755 in North Carolina. When was the American Revolution? The 1770s. "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." I really feel that we would not be a free country, we would not be the America we are today, if George Whitefield had not had the Great Awakening had not happened. Because it was that brought men back to God and their Bibles. And so maybe you think that's simplistic, but I think that's proven throughout history what happened there. So as we listen to Pastor Dammer preach on freedom, think of that and where America is today. We're a godless land. What's being taken from us? Our freedoms. People don't know the Scripture. They don't bother with God. But boy, I can't go there. I've got to finish this. But so Marshall, Jubal Stearns' assistant, who went with Jubal Stearns to Tennessee, he's quickly in Virginia, he's in South Carolina, and God calls him in 1771 to Georgia, and he begins preaching on that frontier. And by the spring of 1772, he has a small congregation, which he forms into the First Baptist Church of Keokie, Georgia. That is the First Baptist Church in Georgia. When Marshall entered Georgia, he was 65 years old. When most men are thinking about getting ready to retire, this was the last thought on his mind. And his desire was to make the gospel known, and it was burning in his heart. And that is really the characteristic of Marshall that we'll look at, is the burning zeal for the salvation of his fellow of his fellow men. He didn't have any extraordinary talents, and we'll talk about that in just a minute. But he made himself felt in every community they went into. And not because of his personality, but he was felt because people became aware of him and his love for Christ and his love for the souls of men. That's how he was felt in these communities. He was an unusually hard worker. He didn't have a salary from his church, of course. This is 17, 71. He worked a farm. He was able to comfortably support his family. And interestingly enough, at his death, he left behind an estate of considerable value because of all his hard work and everything else that he was able to accomplish. From his headquarters at Keokuk Baptist Church, he went forth in all directions, preaching and planting churches to the farthest corners of Georgia. In 5 years, he had established 7 new churches. I can't exaggerate this, how amazed I am as you read the life of Daniel Marshall. I want to just give you a couple stories. But 15 years before Marshall came to Georgia in 1757, the Georgia law was put into place that prohibited worship not according to the rites and ceremonies of the Church of England. But Marshall came in 1771. He didn't care about that law. That was an unbiblical law. And he didn't have a place to meet at first. This is January of 1771, literally January 1st of 1771. And he led an outdoor service when he arrived. This is an amazing story. He preached to those people in the cold weather in January. He kneeled down to pray. And as he finished praying, he felt this hand, not a friendly hand, but a stern hand on his shoulder. And the man exclaimed very clearly, he said, "You are my prisoner." And the 65-year-old preacher stood to his feet to hear this young constable explain that he had preached in the parish of St. Paul, and that was against the law. Before Marshall could even assure the constable that he would arrive at the magistrate the next day, Mrs. Marshall, who we talked about last week, turned to the officer and quoted scripture from the book of Romans. Ultimately, that 21-year-old constable, his name was Samuel Cartledge, he would be saved, he would be baptized, and he would become a deacon in the Keokuk Baptist Church. 15 years later, in 1789, he was ordained to preach, and he would serve as a pastor for over 50 years. And at his death at age 93, his obituary said, it reads, that he personally led thousands of souls to Christ. That was day one. Day two, he was ordered to appear before the magistrate, so he did. And the magistrate ordered him to leave Georgia. What he was doing was against the law. And he was quoted as responding, "Whether it be right to obey God or man, judge ye." He turned, walked out of the courtroom, and preached to the crowd that had gathered outside of the courthouse. That magistrate, Colonel Barnhart, was saved shortly thereafter, and he himself became a deacon in the Keokuk Baptist Church. That was day two. Just an amazing story, some amazing stories. And you just can't make this up, and it's just thrilling to see what God does through this man. In his last 13 years of his life, that's all longer he was able to organize 14 churches and established, of course, pastors for each one. These men became known as Marshall's Mighty Men. Lots of historians have talked about how he was able to do this and what kind of great personality and great preaching skills he had. And I won't take the time, but his key to success was he did not have a great personality, something you'll find interesting just a minute when we talk about it. But he encouraged the people that he saved to exercise their gifts with which they were endowed. It is said that a key to his success was the careful adherence to Paul's instructions to Timothy, "The things that thou hast heard among me, among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." And he carefully prepared men to take over the congregations that he had started. His fruitful life is probably best described as he was perseverance. He just had determination to persevere. He was arrested a couple of times, but refused to quit. During the Revolutionary War, he was the only minister of any denomination. The only minister of any denomination that stayed in Georgia because of the Revolutionary War. Everybody else ran. He was hunted and persecuted because of his stand against the English armies, and support for the American cause. He once was imprisoned. He was put under guard in jail, and he asked for permission to hold a service there with his guards. He was given permission. He spoke with such power and demonstration of spirit, the history books say, that the officers and guards were amazed and confounded, and he was safely and honorably discharged. No fear of man could make him forsake his duty, for in his view, he believed in the promise of God, and that every bullet had its commission, and every individual could but accomplish the Lord's will. He stood his ground, and he never quit. He would lead men and women to the Lord in his travels. He would organize these young believers into churches, And then he would train these converts to multiply the ministry, many, many of them being ordained and spreading across the South. When you trace his ministry, you see, we talked about this last week, that he went from North Carolina, there in northern part of North Carolina, where he was assistant pastor, and he and his pastor spread out. He went into Virginia. He began the First Baptist Church in Virginia and many more churches after that. He saw a colonel by the name of Samuel Harris saved. Then he baptized him, and Samuel Harris would become one of the greatest evangelists this country has ever seen. And that's next week's story. He started six churches in South Carolina before turning to Georgia and starting, as I mentioned, 14 more Baptist churches there while he pastored and evangelized in his own area. Marshall's zeal for the Lord kept him laboring until he was of great age, bowed over with age, almost to the last day of his death, last day of his life. He died on November 2nd, 1784, at the age of 78. He and Sarah would have 9 children and dozens of grandchildren, and 2 of whom we will study in our study of 50 Baptists, you should know. But there's something I want to leave with you that I think you'll find interesting. When you hear about his achievements, you can't but conclude, as I said, that he must have been a man who possessed extraordinary ability. However, there's more to the story. And when you read the historians to a man, they say that, in fact, his son, I'll say what his son said, Abraham Marshall, said his gifts were not above mediocrity. Morgan Edwards, who was a pastor historian in that day, who really went to hear him preach because he was kind of amazed by the stories. He didn't believe the stories, and he wanted to go hear him. He said that after hearing him preach, he lacked eloquence, he was a stammerer, and no scholar. A historian after historian says that he did not possess any conspicuous gifts, that he wasn't a great preacher nor a leader with great charisma, that he didn't possess any magnetic personality. So think of this for a minute. Daniel Marshall is considered the greatest American missionary of the 18th century for his work with the Indians, and we'll talk about that someday. And he couldn't even speak. Just imagine that. The excuses we give the Lord for why we can't serve. And this man was a stutterer. He couldn't even speak. And yet thousands and thousands of people came to know the Lord through his ministries. Dozens of churches, which he would grandfather hundreds of churches from those men. But his only qualities, the historians say, were piety, earnestness, and honesty. And I would add to these a deep, abiding love for the Lord and the souls of men, his prayerfulness, his steadfastness, his commitment to personal evangelism, his zeal that really is rivaled by none other. And this morning I want to praise the Lord for Daniel Marshall, and we should give God all the glory for what he was able to do through Daniel Marshall and his pastor, Shubal Stearns, and thank the Lord for these wonderful men and the legacy they have left us.